Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino in Studio X. He is the power behind the throne, if you will, here in the great and sovereign state of Mississippi. If you guys want to be part of the show, you know how to do it. The CSpire text line is open to you. 601-879-4395. Your team has you covered on the field. CSpire has you covered everywhere else with the best technology for home, work, and on. Backed by local 24/7 customer support. Learn more at CSpire.com. CSpire, inspired by you. All right. Do you hear that? When you go outside, do you hear it? Do you smell it in the air? No, that's not just the heat. It is so hot that you can smell the sun out there. I will admit to that. But that's football, boys and girls. We got professional football tomorrow. That's happening. And, of course, right behind that is college football. Yesterday, I spent a good chunk of my afternoon at the SEAL facility, and I got to speak to all of Mississippi State's on-the-field assistant coaches and State's general manager, Mark Votler. That's an interesting conversation that I think we'll save for Sports Talk Mississippi, because that's right up Michael Borky's alley, talking about a lot of the NIL and the house settlement stuff and things of that nature. But just from a football perspective, good to talk to those guys. It is the one and only time of the year that the assistants are made available. Jeff Lebby follows that Nick Saban/Lane Kiffin pattern of, you get one time to talk to the assistants and that's it. I don't know necessarily how I feel about that. And I understand from his perspective why he does it. I'm sure he understands from my perspective why I would prefer he did it a different way, but it is what it is. I thought, by and large, the message of all of the coaches was, what's past is past. You know, and I understand why you would want to do that coming off of a 2-10 season. You would want to very much be like, yeah, what happened in the last year? We're not, you know, we've closed the book on that. But I think that's smart. When I talked to you last week, I said that I thought that, by and large, the state realizes this year is going to be very tough for them. That even if they have what we're going to call a successful season, which successful would just be going back to a bowl game. You might even be able to say 5-7 is successful based on how the season goes. But to get there is going to be a difficult path. And I think they know that, and they're willing to embrace that. But you can't do that. You can't move forward looking back. And so each one of the coaches were basically like, yeah, you know, we took the offseason. We did the self-scout. We watched that film, but that's behind us now. A new chapter has opened. Good. Good. Let's hope that the first chapter of Jeff Lebby's book was the hardest one. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but that's what you have to hope for. By and large, I don't know if I hate talking about guys with quiet confidence. I'm not a big fan of that term. But it felt like they knew that, if nothing else, they have a more talented roster than they had a season ago. And that I do believe. I don't know what the results are going to be, but I do believe that the starting 22 for Mississippi State, and really the two deep, is much, much better off this year than it was this time last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Defensive side of the ball, you've got real SEC football players. Do you have stars? Who knows? You don't have them as you sit here today. Isaac Smith is the closest thing you've got to one. But you've got SEC football players at almost every position. Cornerback, we're gonna have to play a very solid game of wait and see with the cornerback position. But linebacker, defensive line, safety, you've got players there. You've got guys who can play at this level. offensively, Chapin can play in the SEC. I don't have any doubt about that. I think State's running backs are really, really good. We're going to hear in just a moment, in just about 10 moments, I guess, from Mississippi State running backs coach Anthony Tucker, who his room is in good shape. There's no getting around that. If you were listening to Sports Talk Mississippi, you heard Chad Bumpus earlier today, and he believes his room is in good shape. That's one where we have to play a little wait and see, no question. Because while there's a lot of potential in that room, there's not a lot of production. I've been saying that over and over again. We're only about a month away from the production being there. Offensive line and tight end, those rooms were reshaped after in the spring practice. Both John Cooper and Phil Loadholt had to go into the portal. And I feel like the tight end piece of it has gone under the radar a little bit. But State's added some depth back there behind Sadu Traore. Again, how much of a role are they going to play? You know, Traore I don't know if enough people realize that Traore was State's second leading receiver a year ago. He was right behind Kevin Coleman. I say right behind. Right behind is not accurate. Coleman had 74 catches, and I think Traore had 25. But he was the next guy in line there. And so I think he can up his game a little bit, but it's going to be interesting to see the guys they brought in beside him. So I think a couple of those guys were brought in more for their prowess as a blocker. State just didn't have the blocking. Traore's not a great blocker. There's no getting around that. He's a good pass catcher, not a great blocker. The offensive line, same thing though, right? You're going to have at least two, maybe three guys that start or are big contributors that weren't here in the spring. Blake Steen is almost certainly going to start. Zach Owens, who we will now be referring to as Flapjack, is almost certainly, I don't know if he'll start, but he'll certainly be a guy that plays a big role. I think Brennan Smith is a guy who has a part to play at the center position. And for the O-line, you know, we always think about a group that's been together and played together for a long time, and they have that cohesion. How do you get that in 3 months where you're not even practicing really together? You're in the weight room, and I'm sure you're doing some drills, but it's not that everyday in-and-out practice. But again, is the talent, if you ask the question, is the talent level better in the offensive line room right now than it was a season ago? I think the answer is yes. But will they play together as a group, and will they be good enough? That is something we have to wait and see. Is the wide receiver talent better? That I wouldn't know. That I would be willing to have to wait and see on, because I knew Akari was a proven talent. He didn't have a great season last year, but he was proven. Kevin Coleman had caught a lot more passes than almost anybody you have in there right now. And then you had a bunch of freshmen. You had Craver and Burnside and Harrell, and you were thinking, well, what are we going to get out of those guys? You had Jordan Mosley coming back. You had Jaden Wally coming back. And you had Creed Whittemore coming back. You at least had some idea with those guys. But I would say that Whittemore, Mosley, Wally's not the same, because his career after injuries just wasn't the same after that first fantastic year in Starkville. You've got a couple of guys who've put some production up. Marcus Allen, the transfer from Eastern Michigan. Cam Thompson had some production at the MAC level. Jerron Glover, some production. Brennan Thompson, what, 20-plus career catches? Not a lot. So there's a lot of potential there, but not a lot of production. But I think, by and large, in every room, you feel better about your talent in 2025 than you did in 2024. Even quarterback. I definitely feel better about Chapin, Krummenhawk, Taylor than I did about Chapin, Van Buren, Parson. It may not be a huge difference, but it's a difference. It's for sure I feel better about those guys. So there's some reasons for optimism. Now, I will say this, and I don't... Some people, I wonder if they actually listen to what I'm saying or not. Because I've had like two or three people tell me this week, like, people are saying you're being super optimistic. And it's like, what? Guys, I think this team's going to struggle. You know, I think they have a long way to go. And if they crack 500, if this is a 6-6 team at the end of the year, Jeff Libby, I think, got the maximum juice for the squeeze. He got everything he could have possibly gotten out of this team. But I don't see how anybody's listened to what I've said over the last few months and come away thinking, I think this is going to be a 7-win team or something like that. They will be doing really good to get to 5. Really good. But I do think they can get to 5. So maybe that's what people are saying. When I'm not willing to completely write it off and say this is another 2 or 3 win year. I think they can get to 5. but they've got to play at a high level. They've got to win, probably win the first four, and then get one more. That would be, I mean, as bad as that sounds, it would not be great to be 4-0 and finish 5-7. That's a tough way to finish the year. But at the same time, when you think about where you were a season ago, it's a big, big step forward. 6-6 would just be a massive deal. Because if you're 6-6, there's no way around it. You beat three really good teams. You would have had to. There's no way State goes 6-6 and doesn't get some combination of two SEC wins and beating Arizona State. I would be really shocked if they beat three SEC teams while losing to Arizona State. That would be pretty surprising. So am I optimistic going into the season? I wouldn't say that I'm optimistic, but I can see reasons for optimism. Does that work? I don't know if it does or not. We'll just have to watch the games and see how it goes. All right, when we come back, let's go to yesterday's media day at the SEAL building and talk to Mississippi State running backs coach Anthony Tucker. His room is reason for optimism. He's got talented players in there. We'll hear from Coach Tucker when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Ace Bull.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
All right, let's get right into it here. Mississippi State running backs coach Anthony Taylor, this interview yesterday with all of the MSU media at the SEAL building. Let's hear what Coach Tucker has to say.
Coach?
How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Coach Tucker.
Coach, your running back room looks dramatically different than it did this time last year. What are kind of your thoughts and maybe your confidence level going into camp with this group?
We have experience back, you know, Vaughn coming back after a year he had last year, an opportunity to capitalize on that. Johnny Daniels, also another guy. I mean, anytime you have, especially in this climate of college football, you have returning players that have had production and they're older guys, that's always going to be, that's when things really start to get fun in the development. The development piece is really important. Then you add Fluff, who as a true freshman last year had a great season and has really fit in with our culture and who we are really, you know, very well. And there's a bunch of guys in that room that we're very excited about that really have come along. I mean, we have four or five guys who have already been on college football campuses and had production, guys who are in our program. So we're definitely moving in the right direction.
What's that competition going to be like? I mean, it's one thing to do it in the spring, but now you're getting up close to the season. You got so many guys, so many talented guys there. I mean, what do you expect out of that group in the next couple of weeks?
The same thing they've been doing. You know, those guys, first of all, they're really close in their group. And, you know, the spirit of our room is big we, little me, right? And so those guys are always pushing each other. There's no contention amongst each other. Those guys are pushing each other, competing. You know, you see those guys running during the summer, lifting. And, you know, they have a great time working hard together. They also know that, you know, somebody's got to run out there first. And it's that's part of it as well, you know. But in this traditionally in this offense, we've had a ton of production at that position and in the run game, and what those guys are responsible for. So they also know that it's going to take, you know, a group of guys. And the more depth you have, the stronger you are. You want to play for a long time through the season. You know, you want to be productive in November and when it really, really starts to get tough, you got to have more than one guy. You got more than two guys. So, but there's daily competition with those guys.
What was that 2 week or 1 week or so stretch like in December when you started to realize that Devon Booth could possibly be coming back this year?
It was kind of, you know, that all that kind of happened really, really fast because it was happening somewhere else in college football. And so he and I were having conversations just because we have a relationship and you know, with his, you know, the steps that he was taking next in his career. And then that kind of popped up, and then he called me, and we had a conversation about it, and I had no idea, you know, whether that was going to be possible or not. But then when it was a reality, I mean, it was a really easy decision for him, and it was a really easy decision for us.
When you look at Devon and then Fluff and then Johnny, is there something that one of them does the other two aren't as adept at, and do they each have a unique thing that you like about their ability to bring to your offense?
They're all unique. All three of them are unique. However, with what we do, you have to be well-rounded. You have to be an every-down guy. That's the skill set that you have to possess. But they're all very unique. Body types are a little bit different. They all bring a little bit of their own unique kind of flavor to it. But they're all very well-rounded. I mean, obviously, you see Fluff. He's a bigger, more physically imposing guy. But also very well-rounded ball skills and the physical running style. But he does have good feet. He has some elusiveness. Johnny, also, you know, a really strong guy in the weight room, elusive. He's got he's got great vision, tackle to tackle, and great feel, great footwork. Vaughn is kind of the consummate, you know, the most experienced guy, and has really taken pride in developing his football IQ in the classroom, and so that's helped his game, you know, helped his game become even more well-rounded and slowed the game down for him. So they're all very unique, but you know, with what we do, you have to be an every-down guy. You got to be able to do it all. You got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to protect the quarterback, and we like to use our backs in the pass game as well.
The run game got off kind of to a slow start last year, and there's probably a lot of factors that go into that. But by the end of the year, it was churning pretty good. How much different do you think that could look early part of this year as opposed to what it looked like last year, first part of the year?
I think from our side of it, from at least from the running back room, there's no substitute for experience. You know, to me, I'll keep going back to that. It's the experience, the development. Everything's new, you know, a year ago. Now you're able to grow on the new, you know, and so I think that's a big part of why you see, because you know, everybody wants to, you know, when it comes to the run game, you always want to point to the O-line or some other reason. The O-line and the running backs are connected. If we're not doing what we're supposed to do back there, if we're not detailed with what we're doing back there, we're not helping those guys help us. So I think the experience piece and the development piece will allow us to start a little stronger.
Fluff is a younger guy in that room, but what does he bring personally to the running back room?
Like I said, his personality fits who we are as a culture. He's got a ton of energy. He's the same guy every day, consistent. He's always smiling, wants to be coached, wants to be coached hard. Yes, sir, no, sir. No entitlement or any of that type of deal. He fits our workman, kind of blue collar, you know, dirty hard work in the dark type of mentality. But he's got a ton of energy. He's always smiling. He's young, so you realize that. He's really playful a lot, you know, really smart, really sharp, especially for a young guy. But just really, I think he really fit into our locker room and who we are as an organization, from the strength and conditioning staff to our room with our team. He's been, you know, been a great addition to our team.
Do you think your group's going to have a much bigger role in the passing game this year?
I think that game plans will dictate that. I think we're capable. You know, I think, you know, the guys who've returned have shown that they're capable, and you like to see them take the next step and being able to do those things. It's like we want to be proficient and great with whatever the game plan calls for us to do, so that we don't have to do something else because we can't do it. I think all those guys are capable of creating mismatches and things like that when they present themselves. And so, you know, week to week, you know, it could be a lot of different types of matchups that we're trying to find in the running back room, you know, obviously in the receiver room, our tight ends, you know. So I think we're building this thing the right way where, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can create the mismatches and find those opportunities.
Devon's, I mean, obviously the most experienced in this room, but I know he's also a father. And what does he also just bring, not just as a football player, but just kind of as a person too?
Devon is, he's dependable, you know, since he's gotten here. He took this challenge. You know, this was kind of a leap of faith for him. He could have gone to other places when he decided to move on from his previous spot. He could have stayed closer to the West Coast. He wanted to challenge himself to play at the highest level and in this conference. And so he's made sacrifices to do that. And so, and he's come here with the right mindset, and he's gotten better, and he's developed. Again, he's another one that fits who we are, but he's dependable. He shows up every day, and he puts the time in and the work in. He's good, and he's great in the locker room, great in the strength, you know, strength conditioning. I mean, he's working on his master's degree now. You know, this is a guy that didn't, you know, really embrace academics coming out of high school and had to go the JUCO route, and has grown up, and now he's excited to be in the master's program. So if that tells you anything about, you know, what development is and how important it is and the role that these type of opportunities play, I mean, he's a perfect example of that.
In terms of the relationship between the running backs and the offensive line, what have you kind of seen develop over the last year since last year ended?
I mean, they would probably be able to tell you that more, you know, better as far as the relationship. On the field, I think there is better connection. Again, kind of going back to what I previously stated, is, you know, in order for us to help them, we have to understand what they're trying to do. We have to understand who they're IDing in the run game, who they're identifying in the throw game. Understand their tracks, you know, from play to play. It's not just run left, run right. You know, there's a lot of details that come about that, and I think, you know, the guys who are returning, the guys that we've added in the O-line room, the guys we are returning in the running back room, and the guys we've added, got opportunity to have some great chemistry there, just because of the understanding and second year in the program for a lot of those guys. You know, and to me, that's the most important piece.
Coach Anthony Tucker, Mississippi State running backs coach from yesterday's media day. His group is one I'm very, very excited to see. I think there's some actual star power there between Booth, Fluff Bothwell, Johnny Daniels, and the youngster, Xavier Gayton. I'm excited to see those guys on the field about, what, 1 month from today when we're all down in Hattiesburg for that one. We'll talk some more football when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Patriotism is a lie.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. 1 week from today, I'm not doing this show from the library in Oxford. I feel like that might be I don't know. It feels out of place. Call me crazy. But the Sports Talk Mississippi Not Fall Camp Tour presented by Pearl River Resort will be in Oxford, Mississippi on Wednesday, 7 days from today. The first stop in Oxford at the library. We would love for you guys to come by if you're going to be in the Oxford area. We're going to have some awesome giveaways. You can pick up some great Gentile apparel, collegiate collection for the Ole Miss Rebels. We're going to have some other giveaways as well. I hope to have more details about those very, very soon. That is the first stop, August the 13th. We will be in Starkville at Two Brothers Smoke Meats. I went by Two Brothers and spoke to my friends there today, and we're getting everything set up for that. And then on Wednesday, August the 20th, live in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, at Ed's Burger Joint. We're going to have coaches, administrators, and some surprise guests as well. We want you to come by. Make this a great atmosphere for us. We're going to reward you with some awesome gear and some awesome prizes that you can win. The Sports Talk Not Fall Camp Tour, presented by Pearl River Resort. I had really wanted to stick to football, like actual football stuff. But I guess I can't, because it's starting to heat up again. It's starting to happen again. We're getting people riled up. Let's talk about uniforms. Let's do it. I want to say this to start off. I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle on this one. I don't truly believe that we will ever see the 98s, however you want to put them. I don't know that we'll ever see them again. I really don't. Because I feel like it's such a layup to do it. And I want to go back to something I said a thousand times. That I really truly do believe that 80%, and that number might be low, of your fan base really doesn't care what the uniform is. They really don't. They're going to show up. They're going to cheer for the team. They whatever that uniform is, they could care less. I believe that. And if that's you, and you're right now, you're like, oh, he's talking about uniforms again. I know. I'm kind of tired of talking about it myself. But it's a different kind of frustration, I promise. But then you have the 20% who legitimately care about what uniform their team is wearing. And I want to make one thing really clear, because I see this a lot on social media. I don't know about you, but I can do two things at once. Like, I can go home tonight and cook dinner and talk to my wife, wash the dishes. I could do two things at once. The fact that I'm doing one thing doesn't make everything else in the world mutually exclusive to me. So when I see these people who are like, I don't understand what uniforms has to do with winning games. Look at me in the eye. It has nothing. It literally has nothing to do with winning or losing games. Literally nothing. It's just some people prefer a different uniform, but it has nothing to do with winning or losing. So when you throw that out like it's an insult, it's not. Thank you for your attention to that matter. There is a large, sizable portion of Mississippi State's fan base that really cares about uniforms. And more importantly, that they care about getting this particular uniform back onto the football team. They're not overly concerned with branding. They're not overly concerned with, you know, hey, does the banner still stay here and does the script here? They just want the sticker on the football helmet. That's all they want. They'd love a new jersey, but they would absolutely settle today for the sticker on the football helmet to be the MSU. They would. And Mississippi State, as a university, doesn't really come to their fans from a place of power on this one. Because first and foremost, for two decades, Mississippi State put forth an untrue statement that Nike owned this logo and Mississippi State could not use it. What an absolutely ridiculous thing for anyone to have ever believed. If you believe that, I'm sorry. You should be ashamed of yourself. That why would Nike own Mississippi State's logo? Come on, guys. We have to be smarter than this. We do. But it went away. And I hated the Kroom uniforms. The white helmet with the fluffy banner. Oh, God, just awful. I liked when Mullen came in. I liked the shift back to the maroon helmet was a huge deal for me. I specifically saying white helmets just doesn't work for me. It never will. I can live with it on the road in the all whites, but that's really the extent that I'm willing to. That is my old man yelling at the cloud. But State, for all these years, just basically said, oh, no, it's not possible to have that, when it was entirely possible to have had. And now we sit here in 2025, and fans are asked to do literally everything for this university. We're paying the players. We're paying the coaches. We're paying for facilities upgrades. We're paying for tickets. We had to pay for concessions. I feel like a helmet sticker is a fair. If Mississippi State is a total, I don't know how many fans there are in the world. Let's just say 100,000. And we'll say 85,000 of them could care less what that uniform is. But the 15,000 that do care, and you could make them happy, why not do that? Why not market to your fans? I used to get really upset at people in the athletic department. It's not as bad as it's not the way it used to be. It used to be about branding, and they would talk about, you know, people in other cities. I'm like, I don't care what somebody in Times Square that happens to see a Mississippi State shirt thinks of it. Branding is to your fans. Fans are the ones who are buying your gear, by and large. What is the percentage of Mississippi State gear sold to non-fans of Mississippi State? What is that number? If it's more than $10,000 a year, I'd be really, really surprised. Are there a lot of non-Mississippi State fans buying Mississippi State gear out there? Now, I used to have some college T-shirts of schools I knew Mississippi State was never going to play. But they were like retro T-shirts. I don't actively seek out anybody else's logo wear like that. So I've never understood that argument. I've seen the threads on message boards. People talking about doing fundraisers. I think it's an interesting philosophy. Because if you could somehow raise a sizable portion of money and tell the university, if you'll do this, you can get this money, it becomes really hard for the university to fire back with you saying, well, we don't know, we don't want that money. We want the other money. We want your other money, but we don't want that money. We're not doing a quid pro quo. I don't know how you justify that one. That's going to be very tough in my mind. See, this is what I'm saying. When and no one cares what they wear, there's no fashion category in football. You're wrong. In 2014, when State brought back the 98 throwbacks, when they had that look, the 100th anniversary, whatever you want to call it, people were excited and they wanted them. And then when they didn't get them anymore, they were unhappy with that. So you're just wrong. People do care. Go tell an Alabama fan that you're going to change their uniforms, even when they win the national title. They'll lose their mind. People care about this stuff. There are some people who care. You may not be one of them, but some people care. I don't care about the uniforms. I just want the logo on the helmet. I also don't get how the athletic department saw the response online from fans and national media when we rolled them out in 2023 and decided they wanted to do away with them. Great point. It's correct. The national media, by and large, was like, that's Mississippi State's best uniform. That's what it should look like. When I think of Mississippi State, that's the uniform I look like. I look at. I think of. Yeah, it's a layup, man. It's an absolute layup. And I don't know. I just don't know if it's going to happen. Interlocking logo, the only way in football. Best looking. Maroon and white pants and a note on the white. Only way to go. I don't mind. I've never been as anti-all maroon as some people have. I don't want to use it all the time. I definitely don't want to go all maroon with white helmets. That is the ultimate bad look for me for State. I don't mind the white helmets on the road, for sure. But by and large, State, when I think of Mississippi State football, it's maroon helmet, maroon jersey, white pants. I don't mind the gray pants as much, but that's the way it looks. And State last year, they only wore the maroon helmet one game, I think. I mean, that was rough. That was rough. And yeah, if State was winning, it would be less contentious. I would say this. People would care, but it would be less contentious. It's contentious because you're talking about, hey, we need your money to support this team that went 2-10 last year. And we know we're making you pay a ton for tickets and ton for donations, and you got to pay for all of our players, and we're not going to give you anything. We're not going to give you anything. I don't understand sometimes. So whoever's holding back the hands of time here, you got to think of your fans, man. You really do. I don't know if it will, though. We'll see. The hell with uniforms. You got to win games. You can do both! You can do both! Why don't y'all understand? You can do both. We'll be back in a minute. Sports Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go, let's go, let's go!
All right, let's wrap it up here on a Wednesday evening, Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk, Mississippi. If you haven't subscribed to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, please do so. Please subscribe. Please rate and review. 5 stars, though. What's our deal? You know it. Rate it 5 stars. You can say whatever you want. You can even talk about how uniforms don't equal winning. You say whatever you want in that comment, but give me that 5-star rating. Also, the Rebel Report, the Eagle Hour, and, of course, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast, all available to you wherever you get podcasts from, available at supertalk.fm, and, of course, don't cost you a penny. Nobody else is giving you that much free podcasting. Let me assure you of that, especially when we're talking about your teams here in the state of Mississippi. A lot of Ole Miss fans listening in. Appreciate you guys. Looking forward to seeing y'all in Oxford next Wednesday. And they're all agreeing with me. They're like, hey, you're right. That's state's best uniform. That has me questioning myself. I won't lie. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm off. No. I appreciate the support there. And so one of their listeners is actually, I wish Ole Miss would get creative with uniforms. I'll be honest with you, when it comes to Ole Miss, they have a pretty classic look, right? I mean, I think the powder blue jerseys are one of their creative ones there. But the red, the navy, it just works, right? The powder blue helmet, the navy blue helmet. They don't ever need to go red helmet or red pants. I don't think they do. State's classic look to me is that 98 look. Like, especially when you consider it was tweaked from like the 80s when they had what we call the MSJ, right? The big, it was like a little bit of a puffy MSU on the side there. That's always been the classic look for me for Mississippi State. And, you know, they took it away and then ushered in the worst era of football in Mississippi State's modern history. I've just never understood. I never will. I'll be honest with you. I never will. You know, there is no explanation that you can give to me about why they took those things away and changed them and won't give them back to the people who pay the bills that you're gonna get me to say at the end of it. Oh, okay, I get it now. It's just not. And it's not that I'm hard-headed. I can't see how. Okay, take that back. Hold on. Let me start over. I am hard-headed. I'm a very stubborn person. But in this particular instance, this is one where I really think I'm right. These are your shareholders, man. You got to see some returns. You got to know that your voice is being heard. Because otherwise, why are you doing it? Tyler in Corinth, my 11-year-old loves the interlocking, and he has zero emotional ties to it. It's not really a hard decision. That's a good point. You know, he wasn't there in the days when State was wearing that uniform and winning all those games. So I get that. Bill in Starkville telling me to preach. You know, it is Wednesday night. This is my little chapel here. So I'm really looking forward to this tour, by the way. This is something that we've talked about in the past. Want to give a shout-out to Pearl River Resort for making it happen for us. But this is going to be a lot of fun. To go around the state and hit up the big three. Made sure that we made it to Hattiesburg. I didn't want anybody complaining down there. We're going to be in Hattiesburg. Going to be in Starkville in 2 weeks at Two Brothers. That's going to be an awesome setup right there in the Cotton District. I think we're going to have some great guests, some great giveaways. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to bringing that to you. It's football, man. We got football tomorrow. This time tomorrow night, I'm pretty sure I'm correct, they'll be kicking off the first preseason NFL game of the year. The time between... See, some people tell you it's the time between the Super Bowl and today, or tomorrow. It's really not. For me, it is the time between the national championship game. I like the NFL, but my love is college football. But, that said, I can use preseason NFL as kind of like a get me over the hump kind of thing. All right, that I can watch these preseason meaningless games, and that will get me to week zero of Kansas State and Iowa State. Week zero will be a lot of fun, but then week one is just incredible, and I'm looking forward to being down in Hattiesburg for that one. Why are the people so upset about the change? They say they don't care, just win. If you don't care, why do you argue it? Great question. I can't tell the people who are like, I don't care about the uniforms, but once you said but on that one, you're over. You do care. You obviously do care. This is a bit to caring. There's nothing wrong with that. This guy who talks a lot of smack here on the text line, I'm looking forward to taking your money. I'll just go ahead and tell you. You say I got to meet you face to face. I will. I will come get my cash. Bring a crisp $100 bill. I want it crisp, too. Don't bring me nothing folded up and beat up. Bring it to Hattiesburg. Let me know where to meet you. I'll be on the text line that day. I'll hit you up. And you, we're, yeah. I mean, if he had just said, we're going to bet straight up State versus Southern Mississippi, maybe I'd have been a little concerned. Could it go wrong? Sure. But either give me 31.5 points. State's already a 14-point favorite, and I'm going to get 31.5. If State loses that game by 32, trust me, this show will be unbelievable the next week. That's not going to happen. All right. A lot more football tomorrow. Sports Talk Mississippi. Guys, name, and dudes. See, I wrote it down so we would remember. It's right here. See? See right there? There we go. Guys, name, and dudes. Tomorrow, Sports Talk Mississippi. Me and Michael Borky will have some fun. Talk to you guys tomorrow. From my good friend Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.